Hello, my name is Pankaj Desai. I'm with the University of Illinois at Chicago, and I'm going to be presenting today on some work that I've done on my dissertation, looking at the impact of telephone reinforcement on predictors of physical activity maintenance among older adults with osteoarthritis in their lower extremity joints. So we know that physical activity maintenance plays an important role in improving the health and functioning of older adults. There's an alarming rate of inactivity coupled with the rise in the older adult population, which indicates a need for programs that promote both engagement, adherence, and maintenance of physical activity. Osteoarthritis, or OA as I'm calling it, is one of the most common types of arthritis affecting older adults and a leading cause of functional impairment among this population in the U.S. Sedentary behavior or inactivity is also increasing among older adults, especially among those with osteoarthritis. The CDC currently estimates that about 60% of older adults lack physical activity, and the development and improvement of physical activity programming is necessary to successfully address the needs of this increasingly diverse, large older adult population. So the purpose of my study was to examine the influence of telephone reinforcement, or TR, on predictors of physical activity among older adults with osteoarthritis. I utilized existing data from an R01 entitled Maintenance of Exercise Adherence Among Older Adults with Osteoarthritis to examine the impact of an ancillary intervention using telephone reinforcement as a maintenance strategy for older adults with OA, which was the sample for this study. And the purpose is also to provide critical information needed to improve the ability of interventions to maintain physical activity among older adults with osteoarthritis. So there's been limited attention given to maintenance of physical activity, despite the fact that it's important to improving the health and functioning of older adults. Physical activity programs often are short, and they fail to recruit those who need exercise the most, and those who participate tend to reduce activity or become inactive or lack participation, usually after 1 year. The benefits achieved often last 6 months or longer with many of the physical activity interventions, because of reduced adherence and attrition to follow up over time, which indicates the need to develop sustainable long-term maintenance strategies. And then few physical activity interventions have been tested in a randomized trial and evaluated over time. So I used telephone reinforcement. Telephone counseling offers many benefits compared to other modes. It's convenient. The availability of most people do have telephones, the access and efficiency. Telephone reinforcement is beneficial when changing an exercise program or after initial appearance of symptoms or disease diagnosis. It eases the transition from a center-based program to a home-based exercise program. And the telephone reinforcement is recommended to set goals, problem solve, identify progress, and motivate and validate exercise participation. Developing programs that integrate strategies and reasons for exercise that include self-efficacy building is critical for older adults to maintain their activity. And providing older adults with skills to handle setbacks and strategies to maximize exercise opportunities is necessary for maintenance. So the majority of telephone reinforcement studies have not explained the details of the intervention, including call content, strategies used by the interviewers, reported the number of calls actually received, and documenting reasons for attrition. So I used participants, the primary intervention that my participants took part in is the evidence-based Fit and Strong program. It's a physical activity health behavior change program for older adults with lower extremity osteoarthritis, particularly hip and knee OA. And the program meets 3 times a week for 8 weeks for a total of 24 sessions. And each session includes 90 minutes, and it includes 20 minutes of stretching flexibility exercise, low-impact aerobics and fitness walking, and strength training using exercise bands and ankle cuff weights. And then there's a last half hour, which is made up of manual-based group discussion and health education. It's led by trained licensed physical therapists or certified exercise instructors. And the study participants for this particular study took part in the program in Chicago in one of seven senior centers. During week six of the program, the participants were randomized into four treatment groups. So one group was randomized to receive telephone reinforcement and another group was not. And then within those two categories, we had a negotiated group that developed an exercise contract with their instructor, and then a mainstream group that was referred to an existing best practice physical activity program. So we began the telephone reinforcement after Fit and Strong ended, so that was week nine of the study. The calls, there were a significant number of calls made. There were a total of 20 calls. They were scheduled to taper over time, so the first eight calls were given biweekly, and then the next 12 calls were offered once a month. And the content of the call included a variety of self-efficacy building and strategy building techniques. Participants discussed motivation and confidence, their barriers to physical activity, strategy to overcome barriers, and facilitators of physical activity with trained staff. And then the staff documented exercise participation as well, including their frequency, duration, intensity, and location of the three exercise components and their future plans for physical activity. So my research questions were, does the telephone reinforcement piece impact the degree to which participants view their physical activity positively or negatively? So does it impact their decisional balance? What are common physical activity barriers among the Fit and Strong participants? And does telephone reinforcement impact the number of barriers? And does telephone reinforcement impact stage of change of physical activity? So again, my sample was community-dwelling older adults with symptoms of lower extremity osteoarthritis. They were recruited through, I personally recruited most of them, through targeted mailings, flyers, media announcements, presentations conducted during senior events. And interested candidates called our study phone number and study staff described the program and procedures and screened for eligibility. So participants completed interviews at baseline 2, 6, 12, and 18 months, and the interview items for a focus for this study specifically included demographics, chronic conditions, BMI, arthritis functional class, and three outcome measures, including decisional balance, stage of change, and barriers to physical activity. So I did do some descriptive analysis and followed that up with attrition analysis, looking at both attrition from treatment, looking at the telephone reinforcement, and then attrition from measurement, looking at the interviews themselves over time. I also used mixed effects regression analysis to look at the effect of telephone reinforcement on decisional balance, stage of change, and perceived barriers over time. And the covariates included telephone reinforcement condition, the mainstream versus negotiated treatment arm, or the maintenance treatment arm, demographics, health characteristics, disease characteristics, and time. So you could see that my sample was primarily female, 87% female, 51% Black African American, 35% White Caucasian, and about 14% other races. Had about 81% with an income less than $20,000, and 88% with pretty highly educated group, high school graduate or more. The average age was 71. They had moderate arthritis. And 82% were actually overweight or obese in terms of their BMI. Their most common conditions, not surprisingly, were arthritis at 96%, high blood pressure, vision problems, and diabetes. So similar proportions of participants were in the negotiated and mainstream group that received at least one telephone reinforcement call during the full duration of the intervention. So 82% for negotiated and 84% for mainstreamed. And during the first 6 months where the calls were offered biweekly, 50% of the negotiated group actually received the intended dose, and the mainstream group received 38% of the intended dose. And then during the following, during months 7 through 18, where calls were administered once a month, 58% of those in negotiated received the intended dose, and 50% in the mainstream did so. So you could see that we did have a lot of attrition or refusals. Reasons for refusals, there are 21% of negotiated group participants, 20% of mainstream group participants completely refused the telephone reinforcement. Of the 248 participants randomized to receive it, 20% were classified as telephone reinforcement refusals. Primary reasons included unable to contact, refusal, non-specified time, health, and caregiving. And then for the attrition for treatment, as I mentioned, we did have participants complete interviews at baseline through 18 months. And primarily the reasons for dropout from measurement were time, unable to contact after more than 10 attempts, health, and other. In terms of the decisional balance, those scores were well over zero, indicating that participants did see more benefits than barriers to being physically active for both the total sample and for each of the four groups. My regression analysis showed that the interaction of telephone reinforcement by time, the maintenance treatment arm by time, and the interaction of all three showed significant results, as well as time on its own. Okay. And then there was a strong relationship between education and decisional balance, which means that participants with more education were likely to score higher on the decisional balance, and participants with high blood pressure and diabetes were less likely to score high on the decisional balance compared to those without these conditions. In terms of the physical activity barriers, the mean number of barriers reported by participants decreased from 11 to 8 by 18 months. The most commonly reported barrier was exercise is rewarding when I do it, but I have trouble getting started. And by 18 months, the commonly reported barrier was that I have difficulty exercising when I feel tired. The regression analysis for barriers showed that, again, maintenance treatment arm interacting with time, the interaction of telephone reinforcement, maintenance treatment arm, and time were both statistically significant, and that males actually reported fewer barriers than females, and participants with more education reported fewer barriers than those with less, and high BMI was related to having more physical activity barriers. And finally, my stage of change outcome, the percent of participants in the maintenance stage increased from 34% at baseline to 64% at 18 months, which was a significant increase. The percent of participants in contemplation did decrease, indicating movement in the progression of the stages, and that also the percent of participants in preparation and action also decreased. So the regression analysis for stage showed that maintenance treatment arm by time and telephone reinforcement maintenance treatment arm by time also showed significant effects, and high BMI was significantly associated with being in lower stages. So conclusions and recommendations. The interaction of telephone reinforcement, the maintenance treatment arm by time, significantly predicted physical activity maintenance. Education and BMI specifically affected multiple outcomes related to exercise behavior. And although, despite the high rates of attrition for measurement and treatment, this study provides an example of how an intervention, a long-term maintenance intervention, can be effective in real-world conditions. For future recommendations, specific telephone reinforcement strategies should be examined to determine their effectiveness when applied to subgroups of older adults. And call dosage, the appropriate dose may vary by certain factors like cognitive personality factors, health or disease characteristics, demographics, and environmental factors. So thank you very much. I don't know if I have any time.
One minute
for
question. Question on the barriers for the obese, for the high BMI patients. Do you think that the barriers prevent them from doing things, or do they have psychological barriers that cause obesity?
I think that it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think that that's an interesting question. I think that that would require some further analysis to figure out, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg kind of thing. I do think that these folks did have some barriers at baseline to start with, so I think that could cause them to you know, have a difficult time in the beginning and sort of progress and improve over time. But I think both.